today on Abounding Grace with Pastor Chris Gordon.
God so loved you that he gave you this gift, and then he gave you a new heart to receive. He did the most overwhelming thing for you in life. He brought you into the family that truly matters, adopted sons and daughters. Because he says, I decided to lavish this upon you in the darkness of your heart, that's why you're here. That is when you know you're beginning to understand the gospel.
Seeking to encourage you in Christ, this is Abounding Grace with Pastor Chris Gordon. We are back in John chapter 1 today, looking at verses 6 through 12, the light of the world. Here's Pastor Chris, today's program.
Most people read the Bible, and how is the Bible preached by and large today? The Bible is preached as a good set of way of morality and morals for you to please God, a way for you to feel good about yourself. How many people today believe still, isn't this amazing, after all these years of Christianity and its message, still have no clue about its basic message and believe that if they do enough good deeds, if they are moral enough, they will make it to heaven? Well, we've generally not lived a rebellious life, and we've lived an honorable life, and we have been good, and we've been obedient, and so many Christians are willing and ready to read the Bible that way. They read the Old Testament that way. It's all about morals. It's built into us to read the Bible that way. The book is saying, you're missing the whole witness. Jesus just said, the book that you're reading, you're missing everything. I'm still in amazement when I talk to people in our community about Christianity who go to church. This is what they believe. You're not reading Moses. You don't understand what the intention of the commandments was. So we have two witnesses now I've presented. John the Baptist, who stood closest to Jesus, and they missed it. The whole scriptures, going back all throughout history, were about Jesus, and they missed it. And that's why when you preach to something like David and Goliath, it's built into you to think this is about fighting the Goliaths in your life. You missed it. You missed it again. So you have another witness. It's right here. A whole witness. Right in your hands. Who wrote this? Just men? I'll come back to that. Verse 32. There's another who bears witness about me. And I know that the testimony he bears about me is true. I believe there he's talking about the Holy Spirit. That's going to be a big theme. There were other witnesses that Jesus spoke of. Notice what he says. For the works that my Father has given me to accomplish, the very works that I am doing bear witness about me that the Father sent me. Big claim. Have any of you ever run around saying that? Think about that. The good works that I'm doing out in the world bear witness. The Father sent me here. You would put me in the insane asylum. And the Father who sent me, another witness, himself has bore witness about me. Look at the works. I'm raising the dead. I'm healing the sick. Remarkable. John, Scriptures, Holy Spirit, the Father, all bearing witness. And then it's as if in the prologue, as he's introduced John, this theme, because John is so fascinating because he stood so close to Jesus in relation to history and where he is as the last of the Old Testament great prophets, if you will. You'll notice here that the prologue says something fascinating. This light can be seen everywhere. Did you catch that? This is the true light, back to the prologue, which gives light to everyone, was coming into the world. His presence, his light, is shining on everyone. What that means is that really the only reason this sad world is still going on, the only reason we have any life in this world, the only reason we get up and enjoy any amount of goodness is because Jesus is risen. Here we are. Think about this. just to consider the evidence of this light. You say, well, I don't see. Really, we're talking about the skeptic now. I don't see. I've already dealt with the witness. Well, I don't see. I don't see any light. Here we are. Think about this. What nation of the world is there still left? There may be a few, but working hard to where this gospel light has not been taken. The darkest, remotest regions of this big world that we live in, right now, this gospel, this word, this witness is breaking out everywhere. They say that, not in America, but in 15 years, China, where it's most oppressed, will be the most Christian nation in the world. Think about that. This light is shining in the darkness. Here we are, 2000, it is 2019, almost 20. And right now, I am standing up here, born in 1977, standing up here preaching to you. That's crazy. And here are way more mature saints. Here are way more mature people. Here are way better people than me. And this is what I'm doing. And I came from the cow town, Hanford Lamore. This is happening all over the world today. I have one great purpose if I'm doing my job. It is to bear witness about the light. Still. What a crazy thought. I'm going to die in God's timing. Who knows when? No one will ever come along and preach the name of Chris Gordon after this. No one. I'll be dead and forgotten. Everywhere over the world, churches are set up right now, true churches, that are preaching him. Oh, the devil's attacked it in every possible way. I know that. I know there's madness out there. But all over the face of the world right now, he has his church. No one is preaching the name today of John the Baptist. No one is even preaching the name of Muhammad, who you could say, well, maybe there's a rival there. Really? No one is preaching the name of Muhammad. They do not believe that Muhammad is God, first off. You never have a statement that's a claim that has been made like this. In the beginning was the Word, and this Word was Muhammad, and this Word was Muhammad, was God. Muhammad was God. Nothing. They would never say that. Who set this up? You hold God's Word in your hands. You've got a full revelation in your hand of him right now. And this book has been preserved all these years. Billions of copies. Nothing comes close. Billions and billions of copies in the history of printing, nothing. Countless teachers and mentors have been set up in your lives to bear witness about Jesus. Do you understand the human impossibility of this? Do you understand the human impossibility of doing this on this globe? You could never pick up a name of some mere person and do this. In the new building, none of you will get a square. Oh, I know on some church pews you'll see Elder John. That's the extent of it. This name? To the ends of the earth. Come on. Come on. Wake up. You haven't considered these things. I haven't considered them like this. Let me give you one more. Witness and evidence. Turn to John 3. Nicodemus is struggling to believe. Nicodemus is a Pharisee. As I said last time, Nicodemus was at all the spaghetti dinners. Nicodemus was at all the pancake bread. He just did everything perfect. Are you a teacher in Israel and don't know these things? You don't know you need life. Listen to what he says in verse 11, the most overlooked verse in John 3. Truly, truly, I say to you, we speak of what we know and bear witness, there it is again, to what we have seen, but you do not receive our testimony. Who's the we? What is he talking about? It's a powerful verse because I believe what Jesus just did is include everyone who's ever believed this witness. Here's what he's saying. This is something you're not getting, Nicodemus, that many, you're not believing it, you're rejecting the witness, but many, 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 many people do, and they're not just speaking of phantom truths, they're not just speaking of impersonal truths, they're speaking of truths that have changed their lives. Their testimony has evidence, and you want to know what the evidence is? Look at them. Look at their love, by all which all men will know they're my disciples. Their lives are changed. That's what's happened. And right now, all over the face of the world, this is why they'll never be able to stamp it out. God has his people whose hearts are changed, and they're not going back. They're not going back because they've seen Jesus. What do you mean you can't see it? Look at the people. They're everywhere. Look around the world right now. They're everywhere. There are countless people running around in this world all week long bearing witness about me, says Jesus. Think about that. Woman at the well, next chapter. Come see a man who told me everything that I ever did. She's doing it right away. And many more believed, it says, because of the word. You sit right now in a church full of people who speak of what we know and of what we have seen. Powerful stuff. It kind of shows how arrogant and ignorant unbelief is, isn't it? If there's anything that we need in our day, though, I have to say to the Christian church, the reason denominations are dying right now, the reason denominations, mainline denominations, have all gone liberal and progressive, the reason they are dead as a doornail, emptying out, and you'd think people would stop and say, man, why is that happening? I'll tell you why. The witness of Jesus is gone. He's not there. It's all about us and our plans and our kingdoms. Well, no wonder the church dies. There's no power in that. But from here this morning, John says two things that are important to consider to this. And this is where we come to the table. There are two responses to this in history, this witness. Notice verse 10. He was in the world, and the world was made through him, yet the world did not know him. And John now is right back to the big problem. John is back to what we talked about, the darkness. The saddest truth ever is. The saddest truth is, but it explains things for us. It makes things clear for us. God sent his son into the world, the gift to the world. God so loved the world that he gave his son. That is the truth of the matter. And here it is. The world doesn't know him. And that's our greatest frustration. Can't you see it? Look at the ignorance. Look at people right now trying to solve all the world's problems. Seriously. Look at all of the people trying to solve the world's problems. Take our politicians. They don't have a clue. There's not one of them in Capitol Hill right now that doesn't know the name of Jesus. Not one of them. But they don't care about him. They will. Across the world of people, the name is known, but they don't perceive any need for him. In fact, they see him as a great divider and somebody who we need to push out. That's what's happening. And it isn't just the world's problem. It's a religious one. Notice it's a religious one too. Notice what John says. It's not just the world. He came to his own, and his own did not receive him. The nation. The best you will ever do in this life, if you want to get as close, you think, to God as you can, which isn't get you close, is simply to put on an outward show of religion that really is all about you. That's what the nation of Israel teaches us. Here we get to the issue this morning. We get to the issue when we speak of sin and we speak of human depravity. The Bible doesn't just paint a bleak picture. It paints an absolutely hopeless one. How could God give a gift to the world like this of his beloved son who came, who healed, who loved, who saved, who delivered, and he couldn't even be seen? One reason. That's how dark the human heart is. The natural man can't receive any of this. Why? Greatest witness? He's spiritually discerned. 1 Corinthians, he doesn't have the Holy Spirit. That's what this book is about to show us. Everybody here, everybody there, everybody here and there, Nicodemus the Pharisee, the woman at the well, the prostitute on the corner, that's why they're juxtaposed. Everyone needs life. We're so used to thinking that Christianity comes down to us making the decision to accept Jesus. We're still not listening to the witness. Still. This witness of him has been given from the beginning. And what happened? He was not received. He was not received. We are completely unable to see him or receive him in our natural state after the fall. That is how dead the human heart is. In fact, statistically speaking, there could be, just like the nation of Israel, people in this room who still search the scriptures thinking that in them they're going to find life because they've made it about them, and they still have not realized and come to whom the scriptures are telling us to come to, Jesus. But now I get to the greatest news in the book. But as many as received him, in other words, there are many who have come, and here's how that happened. Here's how that's possible. This is the greatest news of grace and gospel ever announced. Notice what it says, verse 12, but to all who did receive him, who believed in his name, here's what happened. He gave them the right to become children of God, who were born. That's born again, Nicodemus. You need life in the heart. Who were born not of blood, nor of the will of flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. You need to be born again, said Jesus to Nicodemus. Born from above. You need life. The marvel of it is today is that if you are a believer today, you weren't just smarter than all these people in the world. You were given life. You were given the gift of life in your heart. You did not achieve that by anything in you. You did not get it, you'll notice he says here, by blood. In other words, just because your family's been here multi-generation, that is no basis which you'll ever get into heaven. It's not because mom and dad are here. You'll never make it that way. Notice what he says. Not of blood, not of your bloodlines, not of the will of the flesh. You know what that means? It means you did not get here today because you had some emotional experience in your life, or you heard a voice come to you in your life, and inside of you, in your flesh, because it welled up in excitement, you said, that's what I need. That's not how it happened. There was nothing in your flesh that made you or made this desirable. It's not the reason you're here today. And then comes the big one, nor of the human will. You did not make the decision in yourself to come to Jesus. You did not have the power to accept him into your life, to accept him as if he needed the acceptance. You don't have the ability. I don't have the ability. You did not say Jesus is more attractive than every other world religion. It wasn't from your upbringing. It wasn't from any of these reasons. Here's why you're here today. You are here today and you received this kingdom. You received your Savior because it was a gift from God. God gave you a gift. God so loved you that he gave you this gift, and then he gave you a new heart to receive it. He did the most overwhelming thing for you in life. He brought you into the family that truly matters, adopted sons and daughters. And because he says, I decided to lavish this upon you in the darkness of your heart, That's why you're here. That is when you know you're beginning to understand the gospel, by the way. Because you see that God opened your heart to receive His Son, to see the light, a light that now has filled you, a light that now has given you life. And you stand back, and what is your response to that? Why me? Why would you do that for me? Because when you have light, you also see the darkness in you. I'm looking at a room right now full of people, I believe, who want to be here, who want to worship in spirit and in truth, because God has opened up your hearts to receive His Son. And now you're receiving that witness, and you're loving that witness. Well, I got the best news ever to give then to you than the sad world. You're already passed from death to life. It's over for you. You're already in. You're already a son and daughter. You're already saved. There's no more condemnation. That light is shining on you and emanating from you by the power of the Spirit. And now you are the new creation by His Word. And you now have become His witnesses to bear witness about this truth to others who need this light. This good news is not just that Jesus came into the world as a light, but that He came into the world to save sinners, of whom I'm chief. I once was blind, but now I see. I once was darkness, but now I'm light. I once was dead, but now I'm alive. I once was lost, but now I'm found. That's why we come to the table today, to celebrate that gift. And with open eyes and with open hearts, believing hearts, we receive this Savior and everything He has to offer us. Amen. Heavenly Father, thank You for such a glorious, wonderful salvation. And thank You for showing us today what we need to hear. This witness does not lack. There's evidence is everywhere. We just need new hearts to see it and believe it. And thank You that You do that for us too. We give You praise this morning, and let us come to the table with eager hearts receiving Your salvation and the life that flows into us as the Spirit gives life, the life of Your Son. In Jesus' name we pray.
And amen. I don't know about you, but I find John to be one of the most encouraging books in all of Scripture. I trust as we work our way through this book that you are finding the same to be true in your life as well. And this is Abounding Grace Radio with Pastor Chris Gordon. Closing out today's program, we invite you to contact us. Maybe you have a question, comment about the program. Maybe you'd like to listen to the broadcast again. Any reason at all, we'd love to hear from you, even if it's just a quick praise report saying thanks for the program. That means a great deal to us. You reach out to us at agradio.org or call 888-504-8805. Now, bear in mind, as you visit us online, again, agradio.org, that'll also provide a great jumping-off point to the other platforms that we're available on, Twitter, Instagram, Facebook. Again, you can jump off to any of those platforms through our website, agradio.org. If you do have a question you would like Pastor Chris to address here on the program, we would invite you to use your voice memo app on your smartphone. Record your question, your name, and where you're calling from, and then email it to us, questions@agradio.org. If we use your question on the air, we'll email you back and let you know when the program airs, so you'll be able to listen to Pastor Chris's answer again right here on Abounding Grace Radio. And then, finally, as we conclude our time today, a quick reminder that this radio broadcast airs on this station you're listening to because friends of the ministry come alongside of us prayerfully and financially. There is a financial cost to making sure that these programs continue to air here on this station. And if you would like to link arms and partner with us, become a part of this family, we would love to hear from you. Again, reach out to us at agradio.org or simply call 888-504-8805. More in the book of John next time here on Abounding Grace with Pastor Chris Gordon. Abounding Grace is brought to you on this radio station by Abounding Grace Radio Ministries.
Hi, this is Chris Gordon, pastor of the Escondido United Reformed Church. I'd like to invite you to our Sunday worship services at 9:30 a.m. and 5 o'clock p.m. on Sunday. We have two worship services, 9:30 a.m. and 5 o'clock p.m. We preach Christ and Him crucified with the goal that you would live in the joy of this comfort in the knowledge of the forgiveness of all of your sins. 1864 North Broadway is the address here in Escondido. We'd love to see you this Sunday.